Diet Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is December 3rd, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And if you have an emergency, text Dan, let him know you're going to call him on his cell at 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886.
What do you think, folks? 1 week we take a break for Thanksgiving and come back and the woman can't remember to do her part. Huh? Okay, anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is?
prophecyhour.com, that's prophecyhour.com.
What are we?
We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, and on YouTube, and some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base. It's in worldwide places like Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Copenhagen, Denmark, regions of Perm, Russia Federation, and in the USA we have Portland, Oregon, Omaha, Nebraska, Long Beach, California, and Chicago, Illinois was the largest group of listeners that listened to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Yeah, and you know, right now the Portland, Oregon is also a close tie-in. You know, they're bumping Wichita down the line.
Really?
But we are hearing from Wichita. You know, they're number third in line. But Chicago, a lot of people are listening out in Chicago and Portland. They've been listening all summer. By the way, folks, we ask you to please send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or a text to my phone, 316-619-4886. Let us know where you're hailing from, especially if we haven't mentioned your city before. So we will not use your text or email to solicit donations. Follow us and show us at Twitter. That's at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. And there's about 14,000 of you folks over there right now that follow me on Twitter. And, of course, follow me on Facebook. And everybody's bailing out of Facebook. But that's the battlefield. I think you should have other alternatives if you get banned, but you know, you should stay in where the fight's at. Well, that's what I think. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, let's get on with the song and then we'll talk.
Okay.
Serve you.
Our Savior. He indeed could have called all the armies from heaven, but he made the choice, the voluntary choice to sacrifice for us, just as we are to make the voluntary choice to be a sacrifice in the sense of giving up our lives, our old lives, and beginning a new life in service to Yeshua. And the best way to serve Yeshua is service to others. Well, we're back from Thanksgiving. We missed y'all last week. We always miss radio. But we had people got fed, and we had a good meal, and what do you think?
About?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be
about killed me this year. I know that.
Yeah, why did it about kill you?
All that working on that floor, my feet aren't good anymore. I got fibromyalgia.
Yeah, I know.
I got locked up, and I couldn't even get up off the floor. My son had to pick me up off the floor. So, yeah, I had a real hard time this year.
Yeah, didn't you get on the floor to inspect that Sabbath stove?
No, I was cleaning the oven. The turkey juice ran over in my brand-new oven, so I was cleaning the oven, and I couldn't get up.
Yeah, so it was the Sabbath oven. Anyway, yeah, folks, in our instructions in that, it has a thing.
Sabbath mode for Sabbath for Jewish mode or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it to see what
it's in the rule book.
Yeah, it's in the rule book. Yeah, it cracked us up. It looks like a regular stove, but who would know? It's a Sabbath stove. Anyway, moving right along. So, amen. Last couple of nights, might as well move on to this. But first, I want to point out, folks, I did a real good interview with Sheriff Joe Arpaio last hour. You know, over an hour ago, but whatever, on the first show. So make sure you get that one and listen to it. He really needed to vent, and he wants to come back on radio. But the guy's got a lot of hurt feelings, you know, because of things that happened to him.
Well, right now with what's all going on, I think a majority of Americans have a lot of hurt feelings of what's going on.
Okay, well, we're going to go right into it. Last 2 days, folks, we have been watching. What have we been watching the last 2 days?
I've been watching the hearings on all the voter fraud.
Right. Okay, I want to talk about Georgia first. So we watched Georgia today. We'll talk about the ending, and then we'll go backwards. So at the ending, what happened? The legislators talked? Because I only caught a little bit. You know, I guess I caught. Did I catch all of it?
Yeah, the same way they all get a chance to say, well, do a closing.
Right. And
of whether they feel there should be a special session or whether they feel it was just, you know.
Right. Tell them, you know, because a lot of people didn't listen, so they don't know. I mean, I walked in.
There's a lot of compelling evidence. I'll tell you that. I don't know how they can deny it when they have eyewitness testimony in there. And some of those, and guess what? Most of the ones that don't believe are the Democratic ones, and they know they just are trying to hide it, cover it up. You can tell by the way they act and how they talk. And
well, the one woman I walked in must have been a Democrat, but she was almost hyperventilating about trying to stop the rest of them from believing in having a special session.
She was trying to reason away all the evidence that it was just speculated hearsay. Really? The people saw the stuff with their own eyes. They have a video of them taking ballots out from underneath of the table and counting them at hours when no one was supposed to be even in the building. How is that an accusation when it's visible on a video?
Okay, well, let's go with this. That was the Georgia State Farm Arena where it was done in, and the video shows poll workers staying behind, pulling out suitcases with ballots after the people left. Well, what the video showed, and I know you didn't, when you sat down with me, that had just happened. So you heard them talking about it. But in the video, it showed them at a certain period of time, I think it was 10-something, that was the time of the supposed water leak. Okay. Well, it was also the same time. So at that time, they told all the Republicans to leave. They cleared the room. They said, everybody's going home, except for four workers.
And the media. The media and the Republicans all left at the same time.
Right. Okay, well, let me continue. So right. That's what I said. They cleared the room except for four workers. That meant media and everybody. So there was nobody in there but four workers. Then, after they were sure everybody was gone, they pulled up they started pulling out ballots then from under a table. And they took the ballots and started running the ballots clear for straight through for a few hours. Now, this video, mind you, folks, it wasn't put in there by the polling people. It wasn't put in there by the state, any of that. It was just a surveillance camera that the State Farm Arena has going all the time in case somebody breaks in case somebody falls, for insurance reasons. Their insurance requires them to have it. So Giuliani and company, they just got the video themselves last night.
Yeah.
But so moving up to – so it showed all that. When the legislators were talking there at the end, one thing that none of them could add any kind of explanation for, except the blonde-headed woman, you know, that was just trying to say it was, you know, hearsay or whatever. The rest of them, one thing they couldn't, man, they wouldn't try, they were all looked dead serious. Now, I'm telling you, those legislators looked dead serious. Every one of them wanted to have, except for the blonde, wanted to have a special session. But the big thing that at least two or three of them said was the thing they couldn't get over and have any explanation for was that video.
Right.
They couldn't say what happened at all whatsoever. And then we did actually hear out of the Georgia legislators that, you know, everyone says there has to be a consequence for this. In
right.
other words, they want people to be prosecuted. So I think it's safe to say that they will end up having a complete forensic audit.
That's what they're calling. Well, that's what two or three of them said. That's the move they need to take, and they need to do it speedily. They need to get working on it now, and they need to do a forensic audit and determine the election.
Right, and that is even what the big expert, you know, that
he was a military expert on the Dominion on the software.
Right.
Yeah, and he said that the only way to tell a recount would just be the same results as the original election because they're already in the machines.
Right.
And the only way to tell whether the votes were legit or whether they were fraudulent is to do a forensic audit. Because a forensic audit, they can tell whether the machine made the marks on the ballot or an actual person made the marks on the ballot. So he said it's like DNA. Each person has their own components or whatever, and the only way to tell whether those votes were legit or made up is to do a forensic audit.
Well, it's just like, you know, every piece of paper, and here's the other thing that was pretty shocking and telling was the fact that when they did it, they had a woman up there talking about the recount. Now, the woman that was talking about the recount, she said it was really unusual because the ballots that they did see had never been folded.
Right.
There was no crease marks in them. So that would be.
And those were the mail-in ballots.
Right.
Right.
They had to have been folded in like four pieces.
To even be a mail-in ballot, they had to be folded. And they were just straight pieces of paper, and they all had the same ink, and they all looked exactly identical, and yeah.
And what about that one guy that you said that had noticed that turned it, or it was a guy or girl that talked about, there was 10,000 ballots or something.
That was one of the monitors, and he was watching one table, and he noticed that they were entering the numbers, and they entered 10,700 some votes for Biden and 3,000 some for Trump, and he just knew that wasn't right. So he went and told the supervisor, and then they marked that box, and he followed that box to recount, and it came out that it was only 1,000 votes for Biden and a whole bunch more for Trump or whatever. But that was only one box from that table, and they never did investigate those two people working that table. So it could have been every box that they did, and that was his point. It could have been every box that they counted could have been that way, and that could have amount to hundreds of thousands of votes.
But guess what? They can find out who that was because they can subpoena. They can get the rest of that footage. The footage that we saw was just the troubling part from 10 o'clock till about 3 in the morning, okay? But the cameras were running in that building, every place in that building, the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to look at everything, they can look at everything. I'm telling you, in Georgia, these guys, at the end, those legislators, they all were troubled about it, and they all want special sessions and so on and so forth about it. So, you know, that really did my heart good. What do you think about last night with
I've seen the end of last night too, and the chairman of last night, whereas a lot of those senators were Democrat or legislators or whoever they was, and L.A. Johnson is the one that sticks in my mind. She was just flat out ridiculous, and then there was another man that was ridiculous. But anyway, he said that they were going to call for a special session.
Right. But they did, but still, you know, looking at people's faces and things, those guys just didn't look to me very convinced. But if they called for a special session, you know, that's a good thing. You know, that information was damning to them.
And like the one said tonight, they keep saying that even if there was fraud, it wasn't enough to sway the election. How do they know that? How do they know that there wasn't enough votes? Unless they do an investigation, they don't know that. They're just saying that. And that's what one of the senators said tonight when he was doing his closing. He said, how do they know that it's not enough fraud to sway their election one way or another? Any fraud, you know, how do they know? They don't know how many votes it was. They can't say that without doing an audit. They can't say that. They're just saying it to have to not do the audit. They need to do the audit so the American people know what happened. We know what happened. There was fraud. They need to do the audit so we get a good count, or they need to completely redo the election. Something needs to be done. They can't allow this to go.
Well, the state legislators can they're the Constitution in this kind of a situation, if they don't want to have a whole other election, the state legislators can look at the preponderance of the evidence, and the Constitution says they can decide who the electors are and send them to Congress, send them on. And that's what Giuliani was calling for. That's what that's what they called for last night, too.
Yeah, the one that was totally against everything, he was saying, so would you come here today for just to have us just say, okay, Trump won, and you just want to overturn the election and say Trump had all the votes? He said, no, I want the truth. It doesn't matter who won, just like everybody's been saying. It doesn't matter who won. It matters if it was legit, if it was legal. And they've already proven all of them that state laws were broken. That's enough right there to call the election illegal. When the laws were not kept, when there wasn't monitored, when so the watchers weren't allowed in the room and they put cardboards on the wall, on the windows, that's enough right there to nullify the whole election. Doesn't matter about the votes, doesn't matter about the counts, doesn't matter about anything. They broke the laws.
Right, and I saw that tonight on these guys' faces. In Georgia, I did see it, and they even, you know, they voiced that about the law being, you know, broken. If the law is broken, then, you know, there's got to be consequences. You
right.
know?
Those people need to be held accountability is what one of them said. There needs to be accountability for why these laws were not put in place and kept. This is a national, this is a presidential election. It doesn't matter what kind of election it was. The law is the law.
Yeah, and that's what they said. So, I'm feeling better about Georgia. Actually, I thought Georgia was going to be a hard roadblock because they blocked everything and didn't want to have this session and tried to block a recount and did a bogus recount and everything. But now I feel real good about Georgia.
I feel better about the hearings in Georgia than I do the ones in Michigan yesterday because, that was a clown show yesterday.
In Michigan, they only allowed it. There was only about three people's testimony, even though it was lengthy. It wasn't all that long, you know. That one girl, first up, she took up over an hour. I watched the clock with her. She took over an hour to speak.
The Indian woman, now it was forever for her.
Right. Well, and that's partially because of who she is and everything, and it took her for a while to speak, but they didn't, you know, they should have extended her because, like, they said, oh, just on these three people, you expect us to, or four people, whatever, you expect us to do this. And he said, no, and Giuliani held up that book. I expect you to go through this.
Yeah.
And all of these hundreds of testimonies. Tell them where they can find us. We got to go to break.
You can find all of our updates about our breaking news and about the Wichita Mission Church and all that at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only but for a moment, when measured on God's time, we'll be seated together at the table of the Lord to dine. So save me a place beside you till my journey on earth is done, and you'll be the second one that I'll see. But first I want to see God's Son. Just a moment and I'll be there, but in the meantime God's love I'll share. Carry on without you, though the journey may be very hard. But Jesus will be here to help me against the enemy to stay on guard. I'm only in this world just a passing through, with our precious Lord as my guide. And it'll only be just a little while, and I'll see you on the other side. Just a moment
The first century historian Flavius Josephus gives us great insight as to what took place on the Sabbath, not only in Jerusalem, but in all of the Roman Empire. In his work entitled Flavius Josephus Against Appian, he states, "The multitude of mankind itself have had a great inclination of a long time to follow our religious observances, for there is not any city of the Grecians, nor of the barbarians, nor any nation whatsoever, whither our custom of resting on the seventh day hath not come." Philo, another respected first century historian of Alexandria, Egypt, reports the same findings. In his work entitled On the Life of Moses, he questions, "What man is there who does not honor that sacred seventh day, granting in consequence a relief and relaxation from labor, for himself and for all those who are near to him, and that not to free men only, but also to slaves and even to beasts of burden?" Philo concludes his statement by saying, "Everything is at liberty and in safety on that day, and enjoys, as it were, perfect freedom in obedience to a universal proclamation." What did the first century believers do on the Sabbath? They rested just as they always had. It was not necessary for the church to instruct the Gentile believers as to the Sabbath. They were already observing it throughout the known world. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan, and listening to Science Branch Prophecy Hour on American Voice Radio. And my wife stepped out for a second. She'll be right back. But in the meantime, let's bring Frank Stephan on, of course, producer, and has his own radio program. I want to hear what you have to say about all this thing that's going on, trying to do a recount or whatever. What do you think, Frank?
Well, what I think, I really can't say on the air. Okay.
I know that.
So I'll try to clean it up a little bit for you. I'm sorry, I just can't. I think what everybody else thinks. We've been bent over the hood one more time.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I don't like
Okay. Well, do you think that we're going to come out? I mean, do you think we're going to prevail? She's back, but do you think we're going to prevail at all?
Well, and why I don't really like to, you know, I get, you know, you might not know this, but I haven't done my show in 2 weeks or so now because I really got nothing more to say about this, because what I do have to say, nobody wants to hear. Okay.
What?
And the thing is, I'll just put it this way. If Joe Biden gets into the White House, there will be violence. And I'm talking bodies in the streets violence. And I guarantee that. So that's what I think about it. You know, and nobody wants to hear that, but I'm sorry, that's where it is, and that's where I am.
Right.
You know, we can talk all day about not tolerating this and not letting it happen, but if we sit on our couches and expect someone else to do it, that's exactly what's going to happen. You might as well pull them down and bend yourself over the hood because they're coming.
Right?
Right, right.
You know, I mean,
I get it, especially for the folks. That's a little strong, but I understand what you're saying. And you're really what I believe that a large percentage of Americans are at. Even there's a guy, you know, at the gym that I talk to all the time. He doesn't understand why that hasn't already happened. And, you know, I'm trying to tell him, I'm saying, hey, you know, let's try to wait for every legal thing to happen. But I believe that's where it's going to go. I think there will be blood in the streets. If Biden takes office, even if it doesn't happen immediately, that'll happen because they're going to try and force so much on us, like taking guns and everything else.
Well, and the thing is, it's you know, it's not even... We've been robbed here, and it's so obvious. And there is no
right.
other solution. And as Christians, especially, but even as just law-abiding, decent people, you have to run through all the peaceful solutions before you resort to war. War is always the last resort. But people need to remember in this country, it is the last resort. When you have extinguished all your other possibilities of redress, it's time to pull out the guns and go hunt these SOBs down and put them in the ground.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and it says that, you know, every once in a while, I don't know, that things have to be cleansed by the blood of patriots every so often. You know, I pray that it doesn't come to that.
Me too.
But, folks, let me address the radio people. But, folks, I do believe that it's going to head to that if Biden does take power. Do you have anything else you want to add to that, Frank?
Well, I would like to, you know, as much as I am convinced of all this, I really do hope and pray that these challenges are successful because the evidence is clear, this has been frauded, and you know what? What I would personally like to see, you know, I would like to see a redo. This whole thing needs to be thrown into the can and
re-election. That's
right.
What I've been saying.
A new one. And, you know, I don't see fixing this any other way because nobody's going to be happy. You know, I mean, if Trump gets in, the Democrats are going to say, oh, he stole it. And if Biden gets in, we all know he stole it. You know, so it's not going to make anybody happy to try to fix this. It has to be thrown in the trash and redone. And it has to be redone. All the ballots have to be on that special paper with the watermark. You know?
Right.
And it just just need to do that. You know? I mean, it's. But I don't know if that'll happen. And, you know, Bill Barr is a dirtbag, you know, swamp creature.
He bought off.
And I have been saying that for the last 3 years. And it's not
right.
because I have a crystal ball or anything. And I want people to understand that. I didn't have a dream. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have any inside, you know, spooks in the government telling me things. But I can read.
Right.
And people have a history. And Bill Barr has a history. I suggest everyone out there go look it up. But then again, why waste my breath? I've been doing that for 3 years, and nobody's done it, apparently, because there he is. And now he says, oh, there's no evidence of voter fraud. Really? Really?
Let me kind of change your gear a minute.
Well, and see, and to that right there, Owen News, one of the news commentators on there last night was talking about that, and he said that they misquoted him. He didn't actually say that. What he said was there's no proof uncovered to the extent that would change the election.
Oh, really? But I got one question for Mr. Barr then. How many indictments have you got going on right now?
You've
really?
Got
Billy.
Zero.
Really?
And I agree with you. And I believe that he's just a big chicken heart. I believe that he believed that the election was going to go to Biden, and he does not want to stand up to them.
That's what
period. That's what I honestly believe. And, you know, there should have already been indictments.
At least
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
I mean, come
at
on.
Least
how about one?
What was that play one that they did? Whoever that was, I don't remember. But they did do one, and I don't remember. They let a guy plead guilty to something. I don't remember what it was. It was such a non-event. But and people say, well, it's a good thing that Barr turned around and made Durham a special prosecutor so they could preserve the investigation going on. No. I don't trust Durham in the
yeah.
first place.
How many indictments has Durham got?
Election that there is no. He'll say that there is no evidence.
That will be his conclusion. How many indictments does Durham have? You know, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, okay, you know, these people can say anything they want. Go, well, that's not what I meant. I was misquoted. You took it out of context. Blah, 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 blah. How many indictments, Bill? Huh?
Right.
There aren't any. Why? You've had 3 years. I can go on the internet and find enough evidence to indict, oh, I don't know, 10 or 20 of these criminals.
Right.
Now,
okay,
would they be convicted? Would they all be convicted? Maybe not. But I could certainly indict them.
And here's what he said about that. He said there's no crimes been committed that lead to the FBI investigating them. They are at state level, and the states need to investigate them.
Well, stop a second. Okay, now I agree with... If I say I agree with that point, then your guys are going to crucify me. But let me say this about that. He needs to go in and look at the evidence, period. Giuliani said he hasn't looked at the evidence, and he hasn't looked at the evidence. Clearly, the guys that we saw last night, that was the good thing out about last night, was the two gentlemen that came on. One talked about how he was forced to take ballots across the state line.
And that's a federal charge.
That's something to look into. And the other guy, how his ballots disappeared. It was two different things, 250,000 and 100,000. 250,000 were taken across the border. 100,000 disappeared. Those are mail. Those are U.S. postal.
And that's federal crime. That's not state crime.
If you
mess with the mail.
Right. If you mess with the mail, that's a federal crime, is it not?
Well, absolutely. But, you know, there's also that little thing, the 14th Amendment. They wheel that thing out anytime they want to charge somebody with a federal crime, even though it is by nature a state offense. So I don't want to hear from them that, oh, well, you know, it's a state crime and we got no... Oh, BS. Anytime they want to indict somebody for a state crime, they cry the 14th Amendment and say that's how we get to do it. So where are you, Bill? Again,
right?
You know?
Bill's...
Oh, he's over there eating on that money he got paid.
Well, I don't think it's like a cash payout that he was in privileges, and he wants to keep, let's go with this. And it's not that I don't think he's a crook and that he didn't make some money off of him in different places, but I don't think that he actually got a new cash payout. But what he will benefit from is maybe being able to stay in office afterwards,
still having
a political career and so on and so forth. That is a payoff.
Sure.
And that's a payoff, an untraceable payoff, but that it is a payoff. It's just, I'm just saying it's not like they went and gave him $1 million, you know what I mean? Down the road, he may get a benefit of $10 million, but he didn't, I don't believe he actually got a traceable $10 million handout. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the thing about Bill Barr, I mean, you can know everything you want to know about Bill Barr if you would just go read his history. This guy has been a swamp creature all the way through. You remember that little thing at Waco, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, the federal government burned women and children to death?
Yeah.
And mowed them down with machine guns as they were trying to escape the burning building that they set on fire? Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, Bill Barr was involved in that cover-up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, nobody
I might have
to,
known
but
it
I'll
at
tell you
the
what,
time,
Donald
but...
Trump didn't know it either, apparently.
Well, he didn't. You know, the thing about Trump, let me say this, guys. The thing about Trump is, you know, here he is totally non-politician, and he doesn't know everybody's history and things. And he comes in, what the reality was, when he first came in, he wanted to trust everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it'd be like a normal thing, you know, people argue a little bit and go back. He was totally on his own, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know who to trust and not trust. And the people that they attacked, like Flynn, the people that he wanted to trust, you know what I'm saying, to
mm-hmm.
attack those
the
people.
The people he trusted stabbed him in the back.
Yeah. Amen.
And the people that were trustworthy got destroyed by the Democrats.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the other ones that he trusted that shouldn't have been trusted, oh, they were good to go, like Bill Barr. You know,
right.
and Bill, you know, right. Look, I'm a big, huge fan of Donald Trump, okay? And, you know, I support him 100 times more than I did in 2016. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. And picking Bill Barr was wrong when he did it, and it's wrong now. You know, so
and I think he knows that now too.
Yeah,
well, you should have listened to my show.
I believe that. Well, I don't know if I could take the language. No, but listen, I believe that I still have my heart that I believe that Trump will prevail. Having said that, if he does prevail, like I think he will, I believe that you're going to see so many people on the chopping block, and I believe that Trump's going to act a lot different because he ain't going to be worried about the next election. He's going to be worried about, he's just going to clean house because he already knows, he knows pretty much now how they are, who to trust, who not to trust, especially who's standing with him. Look at all those Republicans. Cruz, maybe a couple of them, are standing with him right now, vocally or otherwise. The rest of them are what, sticking their head in the sand?
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to. You know, it's the whole, hey, I'm going to donate money to the Republican and the Democrat because somebody's going to win. You know, that works two ways. Well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and my head down because somebody's going to win. And, you know, I don't want to be on the wrong side of either one of them. Now, let me ask both of you a question, because you asked me. What do you think? Let's say, okay, let's look on the bright side and say Donald Trump emerges victorious from this. What do you think's going to happen? You know, because I already said my answer was, well, if Biden gets in there, I guarantee you there's going to be blood in the streets. What do you think's going to happen out on the streets if Donald Trump gets elected?
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same, but not to the same degree. In the sense that I believe that military-wise, or even, you know, it wouldn't even surprise me if Donald Trump enlisted help from the citizens. I believe that there will be a house cleaning, and I don't believe that he'll stand for the riots in the cities. If he has to, he'll impose the Insurrection Act, and I do believe people will go to jail, and people won't say swing, but, you know, I do believe that there will be war. But it'll be a different kind of war. You know what I'm saying? It'll be more of a house cleaning type thing. But there'll be war. And that's why, Frank, on my program, I've been telling everybody, you don't know what this winter's going to hold. You need to be prepared to be able to stay inside for a few months if you have to avoid, because there's going to be food shortages and everything.
I'm pretty sure the Bible says pray that you don't have to flee in the winter.
Right.
Yeah, amen. It does.
It also says, just shut yourself up when the wrath starts, too. So
it says, be prepared. And as Isaiah talks about shutting, it's close your shutters and shut yourself in for a little while till the indignation passes. But anyway, we're in a perilous place.
I want to get out of here. Well, but first, I asked you that question. I want to let you know that I don't think there's going to be that much violence if Donald Trump gets elected. I did at first, but now I'm starting to feel that no, if he gets in there, these Democrats aren't going to get out on the street because I think at that point they're going to know they will be killed
and prosecuted.
They'll be dead. Okay, they will be dead if they go out on the street and start trying to do what they did already. This time they will be killed, and
yeah, I think they know it.
I think they know it, and they're not there to get killed. They're just there for that $15 an hour they were getting paid.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I got a couple of things.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on and giving me some insight.
Thanks for filling in for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Anyway, folks, I got a couple of things to get to real, real quick because I also got to talk about the Mission Church. In the Dominion voting system patent was given to China Bank as collateral in 2019, and they received ownership of all patents. In other words, China owns Dominion voting machines, patents, and all of it. So, again, China behind it.
And the ballots were printed in China.
Some of them were. Okay, and is something I haven't even showed you. And this is, I don't like it. Read this, Mother.
Immunity cards to be issued to all Americans enabled CDC to track COVID-19 vax status in database. On Wednesday, the Department of Defense released the first images of a COVID-19 vaccination record card as well as vaccination kits, according to CNN. Everyone will be issued a written card that they can put in their wallet that will tell them what they had and when their next dose is due. said Kelly Moore, Action Coalition. Let's do the simple, easy thing first. Everyone's going to get that. No, I'm not.
No, not everybody's going to get it. But again, this is CNN, propaganda network, communist news network saying it. So,
And if Biden gets in, they will try and do a mandatory vaccination.
If Biden gets in, yes, I agree. If
Trump said no.
No. Okay.
What's more, vaccination claims will also report to their state immunization registers which vaccine was given so that the third parties can verify one's vaccination status regardless of what their card says or if they've lost it. Moore said that many places are planning to ask patients to voluntarily provide a cell phone number so they can get a text message telling them when and where the next dose is scheduled to be administered. Every dose administered will be reported to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Claire Hannon, ex-executive director of the Association of Immunization Managers, says CNN.
Right. Anyway, the Department of Defense also said that released information on vaccine kits, which include a card, a needle, a syringe, alcohol wipes, and a mask. There are probably 100 million such kits ready to go out, and they're going to start going out by the end of this month. Now, what I have to say about that is this straight out. Again, you already nailed it. If Biden gets in, this is going to be mandatory, and that'll be war again. There are so many things that if Biden gets in that they're going to try to do that most Americans won't. They already said that over half of the Trump supporters will not take a vaccine.
Right.
I believe that there's going to be a chopping block. I believe Trump's going to fire a Fauci and some of those other doctors. He's going to take CDC and other people to task. I think it's going to completely flip around. So the big thing that you folks need to do, the biggest thing that you need to do is, like Frank said,
prayer.
You need to be praying. You need to be praying. Pray for your family to be safe. And if this does happen, try to stay. Some of the people are going to get out there and fight. Absolutely. Okay. But be prepared to stay inside. I'm not going to tell you to go fight a war or not fight a war. What I am going to tell you is try to make sure your family's safe. Have the things that you need to be able to get by. And I really believe that, because your first responsibility, you need to be responsible to your family. And that's absolute. So anyway, now I noticed, and while we're on the subject of stocking up, how is our start off with? Don't you need to start, you know, we stocked a few months back canned goods at the church for one. Aren't those starting to diminish?
Yeah, I don't have any fruit. I take that back. I have one can of fruit cocktail. I have no other fruit. I might have one can of pineapple. But we made pineapple cake, and I think that, yeah, I got one can of pineapple and one can of fruit cocktail.
I finally ate mine last night. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you made the pineapple cake, right?
Yeah, I made pineapple upside down cake and a spiced banana pumpkin spice cake and put home cream frosting on it with, and then what else did, and you guys made peach cobbler.
Okay, but anyway, point being though, is so we need to restock that. I haven't looked in the freezers. How is the meat doing? Don't we need to start restocking meat also?
Well, I'm down to my 10-pound packs, and I got 15 of those, so I got enough for 15 more meals.
Okay.
Because I froze them full, so I'm just going to use the whole 10 pounds per meal.
Okay, we need to start stocking meat, folks.
Like we did the math when I stocked it was supposed to be into January, and it's going to make it, because at 15 meals, that's 8 meals a month, so that's
right. And you got some leftover turkey,
maybe the first of February,
things to fill in, but you know, the two worst months I believe is going to be January, February, and I don't think there's maybe even March of this year. I think we'll start coming out of things in April, you know, around Passover time. So we do need, the Mission Church needs stock back up.
But I do need vegetables. Instead of using 3 cans a meal now, I use 4 to 5 because we've increased from 60 meals to, we've been doing 79 to 85. So, and I think that number's going to stay about that.
Yeah, amen, amen. So we do really need Stockton Mission Church, and we also, of course, we always ask for you to pray about supporting radio. Now, you know, that's one thing that it was a really good interview last hour with Sheriff Joe, but Sheriff Joe, you know, he made my heart feel good. He said, you guys are important. Talk radio is important because the media is so far gone. Now, here you have a national hero, a national figure saying that we're important. Folks, we are important. You need to support talk radio, whether or not, and preferably not a liberal talk radio. You need to support American Voice Radio. You need to support our program. So if you don't want to help with the poor, pray about supporting radio. We could use your donations. You can mail it. How can they get the money to us, Mother?
And you can mail a check, a money order, or you can go to prophecyhour.com. You can mail a check or a money order. You can donate online or over the phone, but you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com.
Right, it don't change. It was that way before Thanksgiving.
And that's
too.
All of our contact information's over there, too, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's easy to get a hold of me. I mean, an easy way now you send a text to my phone. You know, I just generally don't even answer the phone hardly anymore unless I know who it is, because it's, you know, I get brave and I answer, and it's somebody trying to, like before the radio program, I don't know if this one or the one before, and I answered the phone. I didn't recognize it, but I answered it anyway. Who was it? Somebody trying to sell me insurance.
Yeah.
You know, the only insurance I really need is the Father. But the point is send me a text. And everybody texts nowadays. So send me a text to my phone, and then we can call and then I can call and talk to you. And I'm glad to talk to you over the phone. But text first, because otherwise I may not answer your call. Do you have anything you want to say to them? We've got about a minute or so.
Not really. I can't think of anything.
You know what? Every time I ask her that, it just makes her stop talking. Maybe I should ask her if you've got anything to say at other times, and it'll make her stop talking. Anyway, jokingly. Anyway, take care of your loved ones. Hanukkah is coming.
December 10th through the 18th.
10th through the 18th.
Well, it's actually December 11th, but that means at what starts the night of the 10th.
Oh, and there's that other thing. While we do Hanukkah and we celebrate Yeshua, Mary, you know, Mary was impregnated with Yeshua during Hanukkah. The light came into the world. So, you know, life starts at conception. Point is that we don't do December 25th. A lot of people do December 25th. We have a meal every December 25th. Why?
Because everything is closed.
And so the people need the food. It isn't that we're celebrating Christmas. It is because that's our job. We try to fill in, especially when other people are closed. And, you know, we're going to try and...
And actually, I'm trying to make a traditional meal out of it, which is a traditional Jewish meal for Hanukkah, and it is corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, amen. So technically, it's our Hanukkah gift to them, you know, or whatever. But you want to make sure people are fed, then you send us a gift for the Hanukkah meal or just the December 25th meal, whatever you want to call it. But make sure you mark that donation for that so we know it's special, because otherwise we just use money that comes in. Unless you tell us specifically what to do with it, we use it for whatever is needed the most at the moment that it comes in, right?
And what's December 23rd?
That wouldn't be my anniversary, would it?
No, it's mine.
Oh, it's yours. Okay. That got me out of that one, right, folks? Okay, how many years? Real quick, because I got to get out of
here. I think
here.
It's 35 this year. It might be 36. Oh. Do the math. 2020 to 1985.
I don't have time. Goodbye. Tell them goodbye.
Goodbye, Shalom.
Okay, we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, and the Bible even tells you to do it. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next week, this is Pastor Dan and Sister
and Linda Catlin saying shalom.
Goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.